Hello and welcome to the Naked Football Show with me, Phil Ham. Graham Blackburn Olympic is not here this week as, we're not sure, he seems to have disappeared. Special guest this week is Nick Cabay on, he's twiddling knobs in Graham's
Yeah, I'm going to be reading out some emails for you as and when you get them. We've got some already, but I'll let you make the introductions first, Phil.
Oh, well, yes, Carl Day from Supporters Trust.
Good evening.
And the Vulture, Colin, an excellent Colin this week, my friend.
Thank you very much, yes. Late call up to the show as well, so thanks for having me on yet again.
And, of course, everybody's emails and texts are most welcome via emails to studio@icrfm.co.uk and text to 07973 851 968.
And we already have one.
We haven't.
Well, I can get it up.
Go on, then.
It says it's from Walkie, and the location just says location. Who do you think we should sign with the 12 million? All the players we have are rubbish, and I demand a better standard of football away from home where us real fans go. Love you, Phil Ham, and tomato sandwich.
Marvellous. Right, OK, we'll start with Carl then.
I think it was demonstrated on Saturday. I think we need a centre-half, definitely. I think the defence was a bit shaky, to say the least. And I think
do you think it was defence or do you think it was midfield? I thought it was midfield.
Well, you could say midfield, but I still think we need a centre-half without any shadow of doubt. We do need more from away games as well, a ball-winning midfielder as well, which, you know, everyone keeps talking about this young man Norris, but I'm not sure about him yet, but we'll see.
No, well, the thing with Norris is, I mean, he's obviously the player that Jim covets and obviously made an inquiry about in the summer, but he's likely to cost around £1 million, and Bolton are due 50% of any sell-on that Plymouth get, which obviously will inflate the price significantly. So you might end up with a different player that we could probably get for a better fee from somewhere else. Any other ideas? Vulture?
Yeah, I think I said on last week's show, didn't I? I think a centre-back is certainly a priority. I'd agree with that one. And the Rob Jones is kind of, we've discussed that one until the cows come home. Ball-winning midfield, I've always been a bit of a Norris fan, I'll be honest. When I've seen him play for Plymouth, I've got a contact of mine who is a Plymouth supporter, rates him very highly, and especially now that the Plymouth have issued a blanket hands-off our players warning to Ian Holloway at Leicester.
I like this, Holloway, Plymouth issued this, we're not going to sell any players to Leicester, and then 2 days later, Holloway said, well, actually, I'm not going to sign any Plymouth players.
Didn't fancy him
anyway. 2 days later, so, he's obviously a decent enough player. Centre-half, another name that has come up this week, the Dutch press are saying that us and Newcastle are watching this lad called Jonas Olsen, who's, I think, 23, who's a kind of he's kind of a very aggressive physical centre half, which is kind of not the traditional centre half that we've looked for in
Ipswich. Is this the same centre back you described as having a high yellow card count?
Yeah, I suspect. Yeah, it was. And funny enough, the Swedish Blues have been discussing him, and that was they thought he'd be a good sign, but he'll get a lot of yellow cards. That's what
it's another Manu Tetis. Yeah,
that was the name that came to mind with me as well. Yeah, so centre half, one or two.
Well, I think one thing that we do lack in the back is pace. And obviously, it's all well and good. I think De Vos does very well against a big player. But when you put him against a player that's a bit small and fast, I think that's where we get exposed quite a lot. Oh. And no disrespect to Fabian, but yeah, I'm nearly as old as him.
We worked this out, actually. We were sat in the stands, and me and my partner in crime, Phil Pritchard, were talking about it and saying that of all the players now playing at Portman Road, Fabian Wilnis is the only one actually older than I am.
And older than me. He's not older than Carl. anyone writes
Wishful
in.
Thinking.
But Rob Jones is certainly not going to come in as the sort of quick centre-half to partner Jason De Vos. He's going to come in as Jason De Vos' long-term replacement, I'd have said. So I would guess that there'll be another centre-half, whether it's this Graham Gartland, who you've watched play, Carl, because he was the fellow who played alongside Alex Bruce in the Republic of Ireland.
And I tell you what, he was a very good player.
Yeah.
If it was in the B International at the coldest place in the planet at the
Airdrie.
Time. I must admit, he would have been my man of the match, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, he was linked. Graham Gartland is the Drogheda centre-half. They've just won the Aircom League, and he played in this game alongside Alex Bruce. And I think you said that he played Chris Iwulumu out of the game in that match.
So
which
had him in his pocket. Well, not that Iwulumu is much of a player.
Lee Headband from Essex has fired in an email. He said, we need a quick centre-half, De Vos too slow.
Yeah. Well, I think that's something. I mean, the quickest centre-half we've got, I think, is Richard Naylor, really. I mean, he gets a lot of criticism from a lot of people, but I do think that he's probably someone, certainly given the current personnel, probably come into the first team were he fit, which unfortunately he's not been for some while now. So, I mean, we're looking at apparently 2 to 3 players, according to David Sheepshanks, that will come in January. So we've got the centre-half, one, possibly two, then a central midfielder, presumably we're thinking of a left midfielder as well.
Talking to Mr. Sheepshanks, he's just emailed in, allegedly.
Evening, Dave.
Hey, Mr. Sheepshanks.
And he said, I done good, didn't I, lads, eh? Hey? Sold the club, got some wedge in, now you love me, eh? Lots of love, Sir David.
Well, there you go, yeah.
No comment.
Yeah, well, what do you think? I mean, the EGM was, and the takeover generally was sort of an area that's obviously going to be covered a lot tonight, so how do you see proceedings on Monday then, Carl?
There was the first question really sort of opened up a bit of interest for me, and that's that James Wood, who's obviously a stockbroker in London,
and associate director of the club,
was referring to this, where this rumours began around about another consortium, that there was a genuine interest in purchasing the club, and that the potential deal would have actually been a better deal than what Marcus Evans has gained. Sheepy, ruthlessly, I would say, knocked it back and said it wasn't the case. But the interesting thing was, when James Wood went to make his second point, Sheepy completely whitewashed over him and went around other questions. And it took me about 4 attempts before I could get on the microphone to get to ask for James Wood to respond to it. And as soon as he started to respond to it, I think between Sheepy and Derek Bowden, they completely poo-pooed it again. But I think there's a little something there, but what it is, but it doesn't really matter now. It's done and dusted.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's all done and dusted now. But I mean, how the club described this is Vantis is the name of the company, aren't
yes.
they? I think Derek Bowden described them as lawyers, accountants come lawyers, with a sort of sports agency type element to them, and they are represented to the club by Ken Anderson, who is a licensed players agent. I spoke to Derek after the game. He said, that Ken Anderson approached the club together with James Wood in the summer and spoke to the chairman about potential for investment and wanted the club to sign an engagement letter with a 6% finder's fee, with the club having already signed an agreement with another merchant bank. Now, the club's perspective was that they just thought it was a flyer, that Ken Anderson was going to them, not with a buyer in mind, but to get the club signing this agreement with them, that he would find them somebody.
But
do you see what I mean?
Yeah, but the point,
without anyone actually being there.
But the point that I made in the question that I asked at the time was, it was clear that they were uncomfortable with the finder's fee of 6%, and they seemed to be haggling over that. Then in the speech that David Sheepshanks did at the opening of the meeting, he talked about every stone being turned. Now, if there was an opportunity, it should have been looked at fully and thoroughly, because 6% of nothing, i.e. no deal, is nothing. It wouldn't have cost the club. Had this guy come up with, for example, 100 million quid, then I wouldn't mind paying him 6%, because it would actually sort the club out. So I did ask at the time, and I spoke to Derek Bowden after the event, that I felt that, you know, the club is portraying that they've looked in every possible avenue they've done. There was a potential avenue, and it was quite clear it wasn't looked at, and that concerned me a little bit. But as I said, at the end of the day, and you look at the vote, it was a done deal anyhow.
Yeah, but the other thing with that is they've got this agreement with another merchant bank, who I think is believed to be Seymour Pierce, although I don't think the club will confirm that. Now, if they've already signed a letter of engagement with them, presumably they couldn't sign a letter of engagement with the other merchant bank.
Again.
But at the same time, if they're saying that they weren't dealing with one bank because they thought, well, there's not really necessarily going to be anything in this, but we're dealing with another bank, then, I mean, is that the other two?
See, what I can't understand, unless they've gone to an exclusive deal, which would seem a bit daft if you're looking at every avenue, you want to keep all your options open. And the point that was being made was, had there been that interest confirmed at the time, then when it comes to the Marcus Evans deal, they talked about how tough a negotiator he is, but if you've got two options, you're surely in a stronger position to get a better deal for the interests of the club than having just the one option and going so exclusive so quickly with. Now, what Mr. Wood actually said was, the contact originally started in August. Now, they didn't go exclusive with Marcus Evans until October. So you would have thought there would have been a little bit of groundwork done for what? A few conversations and to find out if there was any genuine opportunity there. But it was quite clear from what James Wood was saying that opportunity was poo-pooed from the minute that the inquiry came in. I don't know, I wasn't privy to those conversations. I had a chance to talk to Mr. Wood after the event, talk to Derek, and it was two very different stories coming out from those.
But. So the deal itself then, I mean, what do you think? Is it a good deal for Ipswich Town?
Ipswich needs that money. I think everyone's getting a bit blinkered by the 12 million because, and I think Derek Bowden, I spoke to him afterwards again, and he said that his wish list was not necessarily to go and blow it all now, but to do it, you'd probably get better deals in the summer next year. So I think it's a cautious spend coming up in January, not a buy all, get all. And I think they'll look to do a bit more team building, depending on what division we're in, come the summer. In that respect, I think it's a good deal. I'm disappointed that what is well known, worldwidely known as a community club, is now no longer a community club at all. And I'm hoping that Marcus Evans will, you know, come out more and hopefully involve the community more in some way. Maybe in terms of, you know, allowing some of his shares to be bought back at some stage once he's took whatever revenue he wishes to take.
Talking of Marcus Evans, we've got Marcus Evans' flexible friend who's emailed in from Essex. And we've talked about who we think the club might buy in January. Who do you think will leave in January?
Another question. Just before we come to that, Walter, what do you think of the... I mean, you have claimed to be Marcus Evans on a number of occasions in the last few days.
It has been known, yeah.
What do you think of the deal?
Mostly to get girls. it didn't work. They saw right through that one. I think at the end of the day, to use a football cliche, I think it's a good thing because, as Carl rightly said, we did need that money. And also the fact that the debt, albeit isn't been wiped out, would have been nice if the debt had been wiped out, but it's now off, say, I think it's off Norwich Union's books and onto Marcus Evans' personal,
It's not gone, but it's ring-fenced. It's ring-fenced. That's the expression you could use.
And now we're in a financial position to go and push on to make a premiership push. I think, all in all, it's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think something you said about community club, it's not really been a community club, has it? I mean, to some extent, in the last few years, there has been a greater community ownership of shares, but it's not a kind of, you know, democracy
in that sort of sense.
To
think of it as a community club, though, don't we?
I would agree with that. We always
have thought of it as a community club.
Well, in the sense that it was...
It goes hand in hand.
The local power elite owned it in the sense of the kobolds being the kind of, you know, big factory owners.
I think David himself on the evening draw similarities with regards to when the kobold family first got involved with Ipswich and now Marcus Evans, and they're talking about a new era. Now I may be, you know, I'm just a bit of a sceptic, but you never know. Marcus Evans could be the absolute best thing to ever happen to Ipswich Town. And we just go from strength to strength. The good thing about it, which I was pleased about reading in the notes, was the fact that he can't take any of that 32 million back until we've been consecutively in the Premiership for at least 5 years. So we know he's going to hang around for a period of time to really generate.
Is that right? I thought the 5 years referred to the preferential shares. Well, 8.1 million.
I think the expression that was used and what was told to me was that there's no way he's going to rob the club when, you know, he needs to make it strong so he can recover all the money that he can earn from it. So I think it's going to be very staged and I don't think you'll see any impact.
Well, no, I mean, obviously a £32 million debt within the context of Ipswich being a Premiership club for a number of years is actually not a whole lot of money, is it, really, in Premiership terms?
In Premiership terms, it's a season.
It's a season. But obviously you wouldn't pay it back in one season. You pay it up over a number of years.
Yeah. So we've got emails flying thick and fast here, guys. There's one which says, this club has been owned by various people since time immemorial. At what point was it owned by the community? Stop being such a crybaby. And there's also another one by Rich, which says the shareholders want the club to be sold. Get over it.
Well, the shareholders did. I mean, that is true at the end of the day, isn't it? I do think there's a bit of a myth about the club being a community-owned club, because I don't think it was ever a community-owned club. It has been owned. I mean, the kobolds owned it, and who bought the shares in 1936, they were the people who owned it originally. And it's only in the last few years, but. It has always been at the centre of the community and part of the community, and I don't necessarily think that's going to change.
Right, I take on board the comments that Dunn, and perhaps the point I'm trying to make, we now have a situation where one person completely dictates what happens with the club, regardless of what anyone else says, where previously people did have a say, even a small say, but a say in what was going on. Is now at the moment.
I disagree in a way. I think the club has actually been more. When I started doing the fanzine many years ago, it was mid 90s. The Sheepshanks era was seen as a kind of glasnost period in the club's history, because prior to that, you honestly couldn't get the club to do or say anything really, because it was very closed and very much like, I mean, football clubs generally were very kind of austere, grey, you know, almost Soviet-style kind of bureaucracies in a way. But the kind of whole fanzine movement and all that kind of stuff changed things, I think, a lot during that sort of late 80s, early 90s. So I don't necessarily think it's maybe looking back in the past with Rose Pell.
It may be the case, but then, you know, since we came out of the Premiership, the club has needed the community to support
it.
Now it doesn't need that community.
No.
Keno Blue says, anything in the Walters links, I hope that following recent news we will say, I can't pronounce the next word on air, it gets chucked off, to silly offers that a few years back we would have had to take.
Well, I mean, I think this comes back to the question of who's going to leave. Well, Gary Roberts is the person that he's mentioned. Well, I don't see him having much of a role in the club's future, do you?
Not particularly, personally.
Yeah, he seems out of favour, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does, yeah.
He didn't make the squad at the weekend, did he?
No, not even.
He's fully fit in the main squad.
So, I mean, that's kind of telling, I think.
I think the three of us are more likely to get a game next week than he. No, you got to feel. If I'm one of these people who feels sorry for almost everyone in life, but I do have to feel a bit sorry for him because he's come down from Accrington and he started off when he was on loan here. He was, you know, we're thinking, hello, we found someone here, but sadly, hasn't proved to be the case.
I think his crowning glory was the Norwich at home game. Last season, I think that was his best game for us, by a large way.
The problem which we've got with him is that he's on a contract to 2010, which, I mean, I don't know exactly the figures, but you're probably talking 3,000 a week, something like that, perhaps, or 2,000-3,000 a week. Now, the club that apparently are interested are Accrington again. Now, I mean, I'm not sure of Accrington's budget, but I suspect exactly who are they. But you're not going to get their budget for a player's wage. It's certainly not going to be anything like that. So. And to be honest, his performances this season, he's not going to encourage anyone at a higher level to come in for him. So is he just going to spend the next 2-3 years going out on loan here and there?
I think you're right. I mean, if your reporting is correct, Phil, that I think
invariably isn't. So.
There's that to it. But, you know, they're talking about a loan deal rather than a purchase. I think that's where it could well end up.
Yeah. What about Matt Richards? I think is Brighton want him again, and they also want George O'Callaghan again after Christmas.
Is that their second month now?
No. Well, I think he's had Matt Richards' third month will be up on Friday, and he can't sign for Brighton again until the new year. In which case, he'd have to join them on a half season.
Right. I know there was some rules in that.
George O'Callaghan was there for a half season, and he can sign again in January for another half season. Would you be disappointed to see either of those leave?
Well, they're not featuring at all, are they? I mean,
that's because they're on loan at Brighton.
Well, obviously, they weren't featuring much before they were on loan. They're featuring for Brighton, but they're not featuring much before they went on loan, so...
They're not really doing wonderful things at Brighton either, are they?
I think Matt Richards has been a regular. Yeah. George O'Callaghan is all right until he stamped on someone.
That doesn't matter.
George O'Callaghan?
I know. I couldn't believe it either.
We've had a couple of emails from our old friend Del Gitt, who firstly said he's chained to a radiator and can't unpick the handcuffs. Now he's saying, please, can someone come and unhandcuff me because I want to be on the radio? Yeah. Well, we seem to be getting along all right without him, don't we?
Yeah, and he's managed to go on the radio anyway.
Is he in Beirut this week or something?
I don't know. It's a location unspecified, so your guess is as good as mine. Mm. We've had another... email from Pabs and Lee in Witham, and they say, what do you think of the low home attendance recently?
Yeah, intriguing.
Mystery. Culture. Absolute mystery, isn't it? Well, when we're going through one of the best home runs in our history, and the crowds are going down, what have we got to do? What, lose a couple of games? Chuck a few? Will that bring them back? I am completely at a loss. The only thing we touched on it last week, didn't we? Perhaps the prices, apart from that. I don't know what more we have to do. It's not like we're playing dull, boring, set up for 1-0 football, is it?
I mean, with the time of year playing to this, with the fact that people might need to go Christmas shopping, I mean, the week games shouldn't suffer so much, but then again, the week games, have they been as high as the weekend games? for attendance. They dropped a bit, don't they?
One thing you also got to bear in mind, I mean, I think pricing is a key element. I also, obviously, with the lack of some season tickets that didn't renew, obviously has an automatic effect. Mm. But also, we haven't, with exception of Wolves, I don't think we've played a top six team at home yet.
No, well, top six in terms of the biggest clubs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's true, yeah.
In that way, it does affect that. But it is disappointing that you see an 18, 19, when before it was 24, then it went to 22 or whatever. But, I mean, when I take my children, it costs me over £100 now, and that's quite a fair layout. Mm. We've had one incredible run of home games, and coming up as well.
I think that the issue with which fixtures we've had is perhaps people are saving their money. And particularly for the games at the moment with the likes of Scunthorpe and Burnley, when you've got, I think West Brom is the game on
New Year's Day.
I think people would probably rather save their money for those games and perhaps go as a family with, you know, people who don't necessarily.
Give it a couple of months, if we're barreling towards the Championship, I've got a sneaking feeling we'll get a few more in.
We are in.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, this is,
towards the Championship title.
Yeah.
Missed the word out.
Well, you wonder though. I mean, if our home form had been replicated to any degree away,
we'd probably be in the top two,
and the attendances would probably 2,000-6,000 more, wouldn't they?
Well, if you think about it, if we won at Norwich and we won at QPR, the two games that we should have bagged quite comfortably. We had the other game, was at Burnley away. You know, we'd be top.
Yeah.
That's how stupid it is.
Well, this is this mad league anyway. It's always such a league of mediocrity that you can put in a decent run at the end of the season, you'll be in the playoffs, won't you? The whole rest of the season doesn't really matter about the last 10.
And the other thing with Ipswich, their seasons only start after Christmas, doesn't it, normally?
It generally does.
Well, there you go. Any other texts then? Emails and texts?
Yeah, we do, actually.
Not from the old game.
From Factual. Did you know donkeys kill more people annually than sharks or plane crashes? Beware of Gary Roberts in that case.
Oh, well, that's true. Well, when you were talking about barreling towards the Championship, I thought you were referring to Gary Roberts there, but there you go.
And Brandon in London says, could attendances be down because fans don't see their contribution to the gate and the club's resources as necessary now we have a sugar daddy?
Well, I suppose in a way, we don't need to go anymore because the club's rich anyway. I suspect that's, people's motivation for going to the games is not so much to fill the club's coffers.
Yeah,
I
suggest that was a slightly specious argument in as much as that when people go to a game of football, they don't go, great, I'm going to donate to the club. They go because they want to see a game of football in general. That's my take on
it. Yeah, and shout at referees.
And shout at referees. Players. So all kinds of naughty words around me.
Allegedly.
Yeah, so, any others on the list coming
through? Yes, we do. Yeah, you timed that just right, Paul. Just came for a split second, you asked. From Factual Blue in Suffolk, attendances are going down at a point when mortgages and petrol prices are going through the roof, and it's Christmas. Surely that's a reason. Norwich's 24,000 are incarcerated in the ground. That's why their crowds are so good.
They're all chained radiators up there.
Yeah, radiators in the yellow and green radiators in the ground.
There's a bit of a myth about Norwich. I don't know if you know this, but what they did these three-year season tickets, and all these people thought they were going to come out of the Premiership, get straight back up the following season. So there was a huge uptake, and that's one of the reasons why, because I know quite a few, I've got to use the word correctly,
budgies,
and they are really miffed because they've bought this season, they've already paid for the season ticket, but they've got to go just to get the money's worth.
And I tell you what, you need a heart of stone not to laugh, don't you, really?
Yeah.
I think next season they're going to have a shocker if you know.
Well, that is the thing, I mean, they're all kind of, I mean, there's an article today in the EDP that people were kind of laughing at because. There was someone who, one of their journalists, I think, not even a letter, who suggested that Town should be docked 10 points because the deal which has seen Marcus Evans take over the club was tantamount to quasi-administration, according to them. Because I think the argument being that without Marcus Evans, at some point, we would probably have gone into administration. Well, it's obviously complete nonsense.
Somebody in Norfolk has used the word quasi. Quite education. Yeah,
I'm quite impressed myself,
actually. Yeah.
I think also the thing with what you've got to remember with them is you said they might have a good season next year. Yeah, they'll have a good season if they're in League One.
Yeah, well.
Then they might stand a chance of getting straight back up again, you know.
But the problem, you look at how what's happened with clubs coming down out of the Premiership. You've got a period where they've had sort of 2 years with the parachute payment, and then things generally have started to bite, I think. And. Particularly with this situation of securitisations like Ipswich, Leicester and Leeds had, which is what caused the administrations of those clubs. Now Norwich have got a similar arrangement, haven't they, with their with the hotel and the ground and such like. Mm-hmm. Now it wouldn't surprise me at all that if they find themselves in greater financial shtuck in the 2 or 3 years to come, or a year, maybe 2 years, because of the situation that they've created for themselves in the years coming out of the Premiership.
I think it could actually be sooner than that.
Paps and Lear have got...
Word you
sorry.
Had, is it?
That's what I'll say. I'm not
saying it.
Well, Paps and Lear got back to us again, and they're asking, what do you think of Cito Castro's recent performances?
I think he's played really well. I don't know about you two.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Yeah, I think he's done well. He's brought in slightly difficult circumstances, perhaps, and he's done a good job.
I think he's, you know, he's grabbed the nettle, hasn't he? Really, he's really sort of doing it. I mean, he still scares me a bit with some of his charging in challenges.
Yeah.
But I think that's Cito all in, isn't it? But
we get told all the time at Sunday league level, when you're in the shirt, you know, you're in the shirt and you play for the shirt. And I think that's what Cito's doing. He's got his chance and he's doing everything he can to take it.
So do you prefer him to Dan Harding?
I think they're very different players, to
yeah.
be honest.
Difficult to judge on two games.
Yeah.
And he's up for it.
I mean, I thought when Cito was on trial in the first few games, he kind of came forward a lot in those games, and you saw him very much as a kind of very sort of progressive fullback. But since he's been back in the side, he's hardly crossed the halfway line.
Very defensive-minded, isn't he?
Yeah. Whether it's just him trying to be conservative and not make mistakes. But, I mean, in a way, it suited us having... Because he's had John Walters in front of him on the left, both in all three... He's played three games now?
Yeah.
Which has suited John Walters, I think, in a way, to have someone like that, whereas Dan Harding has tended to push forward more.
Mm.
Any final words?
Yeah, we do. We have an email from Crazy, and he's asking, are any of you hoping to get the ITFC toaster for Christmas?
Yeah, I've heard about this, but I've not seen it.
I have seen it, but it's ridiculously priced.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it just a toaster with the Ipswich Town bag on?
Well, what it does, it actually cooks the toast, but leaves white ITFC.
Does it really?
Yeah, ITFC is...
What, even in brown bread?
Well,
probably more of an effective brown bread, wouldn't it?
I understand it's about £30 something.
Is it really?
Interesting, that could be £30 well spent, that. It's just what my breakfast needs, ITFC in white on the bread.
You used to get ITFC milk as well, perhaps you do a whole breakfast range.
Yeah, ITFC cornflakes.
Yeah, well, I was thinking like kind of, you know, something like that in the ITFC shapes. Mm. You know, shaped like the players.
Eddie Yowd, snap, crackle and pop. that was his challenges, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm desperately trying to think of a joke on a thing.
Special K.
Wasn't it?
Anyway, I'll give you time to think about that, because we are just about out of time. What we got coming up on the Boxing Day show?
No idea. Graham is organising it.
Still in the planning stages.
If it fails abysmally to occur...
We'll blame him.
Yeah, it'll be recorded on Sunday, I think, because ICR isn't on Boxing Day live. I'll probably put something on the message board to say what we're after for in terms of texts and emails and such like.
Yeah, no, please do. Anyway, it's been a pleasure being the guest email reader out on the show.
That's superb, thank you very
and
much.
And yeah, thanks very much. Excellent show.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's the end of this week's Naked Football Show.
So hold tight for Ernest and Mabel after the break. We'll see you next week.